welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll meet the people behind Camp Gratitude, and we'll hear about the VA's outreach efforts for our most troubled veterans. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Throughout the summer, the Minnesota Twins are recognizing beyond the Yellow Ribbon networks that support military members, veterans, and their families. What a truly fantastic recognition program they've developed. The Minnesota Twins put our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon logo in their outfield and said, "We want to thank the people who support military families," and they're doing it. Just prior to the game, Yellow Ribbon networks are being brought to the Twins' home plate monthly and are recognized for their unique contributions to our statewide Beyond the Yellow Ribbon effort. Thanks to the Minnesota Twins and to the more than 250 Yellow Ribbon networks throughout our great state. It is only with your support that we are able to keep the Minnesota National Guard a competent, ready force.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Ariana Hart, who is a clinical social worker at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Ariana, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Ariana, how long have you been at the VA?
I've been at the VA 10 years now.
10 years. And what type of education did you have to get to be a clinical social worker?
Well, I did my master's in social work at Columbia University and then moved to Minnesota in 2005.
And what was the connection to Minnesota?
I had some good friends here, and my now husband was here, and so made the relocation.
Well, those are pretty good reasons, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get to the VA after you graduated from college?
Well, I first worked with the Department of Corrections, and while I was there, had the opportunity to come work for the VA, doing some family programming, and really enjoyed that work and found it really valuable working with veterans and their families. And then about 5 years into that, had the opportunity to transition into my current role.
And your current role at the VA is a healthcare for reentry veterans specialist. That's a long title, Ariana.
It is.
What does that really mean?
Well, I provide outreach and resources to veterans who are incarcerated in the state and federal facilities. I cover 18 facilities here in Minnesota and northwestern Wisconsin.
So if our veterans are otherwise eligible for health care at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, if they get into a spot of trouble and they happen to be incarcerated, they're still eligible for some help from the VA.
That's right. So they don't become ineligible because of having a felony or any other kind of legal background. And a lot of what my role is dispelling myths about who's eligible for services and what's available to veterans. And it's a really important time when people are getting ready to release back in the community. And it's good to be a part of that process and help people get access to the services that they've earned.
So how many facilities are there where we might have incarcerated veterans around Minnesota or western Wisconsin?
I cover 18. So the majority of those being Minnesota state facilities. I also have a handful of Wisconsin facilities and 4 federal facilities.
So do you tour them? Do you visit all of those facilities occasionally?
I do, yeah. And I plan my visits based on the number of veterans and how close they are to their release. So it's really anywhere from monthly visits to maybe quarterly or as needed.
So does the VA actually provide some care for those veterans while they're incarcerated?
So the VA has policies that veterans are not eligible for care while they're incarcerated, but immediately upon release, they're eligible to receive all their benefits. So part of my role is helping veterans to become enrolled or to update their enrollment and help them identify which facility they would be served by. And doing some assessment of what their needs are and getting them connected to services to meet those needs.
So does that mean you generally have to keep track of how many veterans are incarcerated at various facilities?
I do. I keep track of a lot of veterans, but my work with them tends to be shorter term. And so, you know, I may work with veterans for about 6 months prior to their release and then keep keep in touch with them for a few months after their release.
We're speaking with Arianna Hart from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Arianna, it sounds like since you can't really provide care while they are incarcerated, but when they're released, probably fairly easy if they were already eligible for VA care before they were incarcerated to get reinstated and get some help again. But I imagine some of those veterans maybe need to file a claim or do something like that, too. Do you help them with that as well?
Yeah, well, I am fortunate to partner with an outreach worker from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And so he and I do a lot of our visits together, and he has a lot of expertise in the claim side of things. I also have some contacts on the VBA the regional office here in St. Paul, and I call on them occasionally, too, if there are questions that come up.
So it's your responsibility to kind of keep track of all the veterans that are going to be released and see if they need any help and try to show them where to go to get it.
That's right.
So you must work a little bit with the county veteran service officers as well then.
Yep. So I refer them to their local veteran service office when they get released. And some veterans have never been to that office and other veterans have already established relationships with their CVSO. So making sure they have all that information for when they walk out the door.
So if we've got a veteran being released from a federal or a state facility, do you actually go in and give them a briefing on what's available and what type of services and things you can do to help them?
Yeah. So the Minnesota Department of Corrections actually tracks anybody who's reported any past military service. So they have a list of individuals. And then I also have access to a list of veterans. And so I'll go into the various facilities and I do some group presentations, but most of my work is individual with each participant, each veteran who chooses to meet with me. And we sit down and talk about whether they've ever accessed services through the VA or any veteran services. And for those that haven't, we do the enrollment process, get DD-214s, and then I do an assessment looking at, you know, what their medical needs may be, if there are mental health needs, if there's substance use treatment needs. And then we also look at social concerns like housing needs or vocational programming. And then my role is to help refer them to the services through the VA that we have to offer or through partnerships that we have in the community.
So those partnerships are with other state agencies that are out there to help. And mm-hmm. I suppose when you're having that first interview, you're going to say, where are you from? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to live? Do you have any health issues? Do you have any mental health issues? And mm-hmm. just kind of go through a list of, you know, what are you going to do and how can we help you?
Yeah. Yep. Looking at that, because we do know that individuals who are incarcerated, they're at a higher likelihood of having, you know, more complex medical concerns and mental health concerns. And so having ready access to care for those concerns is really important. It's part of why this program exists and why the VA has it in place. And so doing some assessment of what the needs are in those particular areas is the place where we start.
Now, when you first meet a veteran that's going to be released, are they surprised that you're there to help them?
Sometimes. I've been doing this about 5 years, and so I have some pretty well-developed relationships at the different facilities. So sometimes people are surprised I'm there, and then sometimes veterans hear from the grapevine that it might be helpful to come meet with me and hear about what's available.
So over 5 years, you've gotten to know the administration and the people that work at those facilities, and they know that you're there and available and help you schedule these meetings.
Yep.
Well, it must be rewarding to help those veterans once they get released and help them transition back into civilian life.
Absolutely, it is.
Arianna, we have to take a short break. We're speaking with Arianna Hart, who is a clinical social worker at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. We'll be right back with more. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with Arianna Hart, who is a clinical social worker at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, and she provides outreach, assessment, referral, and short-term case management services to veterans releasing from the 18 state and federal prisons in Minnesota and northwestern Wisconsin. She assists veterans in assessing health care services, mental health, substance abuse, housing, vocational services, and works closely with corrections partners to identify and educate individuals with prior military service about resources that are available. Ariana, that's a lot of facilities and probably hundreds of veterans that could use your help. You must stay pretty busy.
It's a pretty busy job.
Now, when you sit down and interview these veterans, if they've got a problem with PTSD and they're eligible for VA healthcare services, do you get them into the system out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center?
Yeah. So, and even if they're going to a facility other than Minneapolis, I can work with whichever VA facility they're heading to make sure that they can get quick access to care, based on the areas of need. So if they needed treatment for PTSD or any other mental health condition, making sure that they have something scheduled in mental health department where they're heading is definitely something that we do.
So you can get them referred to the Minneapolis Hospital or the St. Cloud Hospital or the outpatient clinics that you have all over Minnesota.
Yes, that's correct.
And I would guess that would speed their entry into the system and help them to get those appointments fairly quickly.
It does. You know, veterans are doing a lot when they get released. There's a lot of different things happening. They're meeting with probation officers. They're reengaging with family, looking for work, dealing with a lot of different variables. And this is one thing that we can have taken care of and in place so that they have ready access to any health care they need.
Now, one of the issues I read there was housing. If they don't know where they're going to live when they get out, do you send them over to MACV or is there some other organizations you work with?
Yeah, so my role is actually a part of the mental health homeless programs through the VA. It's really seen as prevention, part of the prevention arm of our program, knowing that incarcerated individuals are at a really high risk of homelessness when they're released. And so I work with our team to access any transitional housing resources we have. And there's also a really strong collaboration in Minnesota with the community partners like MACV and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs to look at all the different options for housing and supporting veterans when they're getting released.
Now, you mentioned in the first segment that you work fairly closely with someone at the Minneapolis or the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Is there someone special there that you partner with on these issues for incarcerated veterans that are being released?
So I work closely with Judd Satrowski, who's an outreach worker through the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and he handles a lot of the claims issues and can refer to any of their services that they have through the state, some of their programs.
So the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is broken into two segments. They've got the homes, and then they've got programs and services. So you actually work closely with them, and you have access to all of their resources as well.
That's right.
That sounds like a great partnership.
It is. We work really well together.
I can see that. Ariana, can you walk us through a typical case, a veteran that was released without naming him, and the things that you did to help?
Sure. So one of the first veterans I actually worked with when I started this job, I met with him and he was getting ready to be released. He had never used VA services before. He'd had a career before he was incarcerated and was going to be starting from scratch when he was released. And we went through the process of getting him enrolled in healthcare. And he was very motivated and motivated to get back to work. And through accessing some of the resources at the VA, ultimately now is an employee at the VA full time.
So one of your first guys you worked with ended up going to work for the VA Medical Center.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's a pretty good story.
Yeah.
And he's still there?
He's still there as far as I know.
Well, I bet he likes you. It's fun to see that, isn't it?
It is. It's very rewarding.
Now, what's really the biggest challenge that veterans face when they're being released?
You know, having a felony background makes it very difficult to obtain housing and look for work. And that's not necessarily just specific to veterans, but it's something that I see a lot with the individuals I work with is looking for housing and finding employment so that they can sustain their housing and their livelihood.
One of the things we've had some experts on talking about homeless veterans and all of their issues, and one of the things they talk about that's very important is finding a place to stay and having that door, mm-hmm. have some security, know where you're going to be each night, and then secondarily, find that job.
Absolutely.
You need to have some income. So you get involved in some of those things as well.
Yes. Yes, I definitely help with accessing some of our housing programs through the VA or through our partners, and we'll refer to the vocational rehabilitation services that we have at the VA and some of the services for veterans through the Workforce Center and through MACV.
We're speaking with Arianna Hart, who is a clinical social worker at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, on Minnesota Military Radio. Arianna, have you got another example of a success case that you've worked with over the 5 years?
Well, you know, I think success can look a lot of different ways, too. You know, I've had the opportunity to work with veterans who were long-term homeless, dealt with a lot of substance use, and, you know, been able to work with a couple individuals to sustain more permanent housing when they get out, and have seen some of those individuals then go on to go to school, to get a permanent employment, and, you know, those are always really exciting things to see.
I would guess that occasionally you come across a veteran and you help them get settled in some housing and get a job, and then maybe they run into some old friends and they start getting back into substance abuse issues, things like that. Can you then get them enrolled in a program at the VA to help with those issues as well?
Absolutely. We have a lot of veterans who actually will release from prison directly up to the treatment program in St. Cloud. It's been a really great resource for veterans to go and be reentering the community in a supportive place where they can start their treatment process, and then also get them connected with services through Minneapolis as well, some of the intensive outpatient services we have.
So whether they need help with healthcare services, mental health, PTSD, substance abuse, the VA has all those programs available, and you know how to help them, don't you?
Yeah, I definitely try to get them connected with the services that they need. And, you know, it is a process for many people, you know, getting access and getting engaged. So I definitely enjoy being a part of that.
Arianna, I've heard from some of my fellow Vietnam veterans that once they retire and they have some time on their hands, that they start getting post-traumatic stress symptoms again, because they're dredging up old memories and they have time to think about things. And does the VA, can they really help with that and help them face it and put it behind them?
Yes, absolutely. You know, and I've heard from veterans similar types of experiences, and absolutely at any point in life, we're here to help get access to the care that veterans need.
And we've studied this for enough decades now that the VA really knows how to do this.
Yes.
So trust in that. If you're having those kind of issues, make sure you get a hold of the VA Medical Center in Minneapolis. And if you want more information on how to help recently released incarcerated veterans, you can go to the Minneapolis VA healthcare site, and your name is there. All they have to look up is healthcare for reentry veteran specialists, and your name, Arianna Hart, will be on that page.
That's right. I'm listed as the Minnesota point of contact. And so you can look up HCRV or Healthcare for Reentry Veterans Specialists, and you should be able to find my name and my contact information right there.
Arianna, we only got about 30 seconds left. Can you tell our listeners one more time what type of services you provide for these special veterans?
I provide outreach and connection to veterans who are coming out of prison, access to medical care, mental health treatment, substance use treatment, housing resources, and employment resources.
Arianna, sounds like you're doing a great job for those veterans, and I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Arianna Hart, a clinical social worker at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll meet the people behind Camp Gratitude. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet the founder of Camp Gratitude. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs acknowledges the sacrifices made by veterans like you, one of more than 353,000 across Minnesota. From World War II to the current conflicts, a debt of gratitude is owed to your service. I'd like to share a new interactive video named What is a Veteran? We often hear what appears on the surface to be a simple question. What is a veteran? There are many interpretations of the word veteran, and state and federal laws differ as well. In some cases, an individual may not meet the state or federal criteria, but may still be eligible for some benefits. I invite you to watch the short video to gain a better understanding of this complex topic. You can find the video and interactive quiz at minnesotaveteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Sheldon. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now is the founder of Camp Gratitude, Bill Huddle. Bill, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Bill, it's been a while since you've been on the show, but I know you were in Vietnam in 1968 and 69, and you were a reluctant member of the 101st Airborne.
We don't need to go into that story, but that's probably for another time, but yes.
Well, I had a pretty good story that you were supposed to be in military intelligence, whatever that is, and you got drafted by the 101st and went over there and successfully cruised through a tour in Vietnam.
Very fortunate. Yeah.
That's as nice as I can say it.
Hey, we're on the air.
And as Commissioner Sheloto just told us, what is a veteran? Someone that served in the 101st Airborne in Vietnam certainly is a veteran, and good to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much.
Camp Gratitude. For those that haven't heard of it, tell me, what is it and where is it?
Camp Gratitude is a way for us as civilians to say thank you, not only to the military member, but to their entire family, for the sacrifices they have all made to preserve our way of life. By doing this, we want to give them a free week's vacation just to reconnect and relax and let us say thank you to them. We are a program. We're not a location. We have been partnering for the last 5 years with the Veterans Campground in Big Marine Lake, renting cabins from them. The community has stepped up to provide, from the Minnesota Twins providing tickets to bus companies providing transportation to barbecues. It's just overwhelming for me just to see all the community coming together for our families, the entire military family.
So, Bill, where were you when you thought up this idea? Where did it come from?
A lot of good things come out of happy hours.
Well, I guess we're getting the truth. You have ears and said, I'd like to help some of your families who also suffer and sacrifice when our service members are deployed.
Well, you know, Tom, when we came back, life was different. What I wanted to do in thinking about this was just to show these, I'll call them kids, that we appreciate what they're doing. The entire family, and particularly in states like Minnesota, we're a guard and reserve state where these are your neighbors. A lot of us don't even know that our neighbors are in the military. We don't have a huge military support system here, such as a military installation. Again, it's just a way to let them know that we're grateful for what they're doing. They're all doing, from the kids to the spouses left at home, and obviously the military member.
Now, how are you organized?
I do a lot of begging. We are funded 100% by public donations. And again, the public has been very kind to us in any way that they can, from $5 donations to some corporate companies that are donating. It's running us about $18,000 per year per family. I beg your pardon, $1,800 per week per family per year. Currently, we have been supporting 12 families a year. We do it 1 week a year.
So you rent this vacation spot on Roots Cult. What's the name of the camp?
The Veterans Campground in Big Marine Lake.
Okay.
So which is in Marina in St. Croix, Minnesota, which is up near Forest Lake and north of Stillwater.
So you pretty much rent that whole place for a week?
We rent, they have 12 cabins, six double bungalow cabins. We rent all of those for the 12 families, and then we have another five that we are renting for our staff. In addition to saying thank you and giving the families a vacation, when I was putting this together, I somehow wanted to address the new normal of family life after deployment. These kids are coming home, and their divorce rate and suicide rate is unacceptable. But I wanted to have something that we could do it without addressing any issues to them. I didn't want to do anything heads-on. We've been fortunate to put together a very fun, interactive program on how the families became stronger during deployment. The kids think they're playing games. Again, we don't have any lectures. There's no reintegration whatsoever. So hopefully if anybody is thinking about joining us, they don't have to worry about being lectured to.
We're speaking with Bill Hoddle, the founder of Camp Gratitude, on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Bill, as I recall, you have activities out there all week. This is just a fun time, and these 12 families end up being friends by the end of the week.
It's unbelievable. They have the bonding is tremendous. Virtually every family have become Facebook friends, and I monitor this somebody will make a post, and virtually everybody will like it or chime in on how they can be supportive. It's overwhelming.
So how are people eligible? How do they apply to get this free week's vacation for their family?
Our applications are online at campgratitude.org. It's 100% free. For this year, 2016, we have one opening still available. So I would suggest if anybody would like to attend, they get on this right away. The dates are June 16th, Friday, June 16th to Friday, June 23rd.
And, Bill, this year is 2017, not 2016.
Well, I'm an old man, so it's thank you. Thank you for correcting that.
Well, you're older than me, so I had to get after you. So campgratitude.org is the website?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you still got one opening? So
one opening is available. Yep.
And we just got a couple of minutes left, but when we come back, I think you're going to tell us about a new partnership that's going to allow you to have more time for your veterans to get to another facility.
Yes, sir. Love to.
All right. Now, how can we got a minute or so left here. How can our listeners help you?
Just spread the word. Tell other people. Tell other military families that we are here for them. That's probably just the best way. If anybody wants to support us, we are a 501c3. Applications or donations can be made on our website, which is, again, campgratitude.org. And with the proposed Trump's new tax reforms, one of the deductions is going to be charitable donations. So somebody needs a deduction, they certainly please be kind enough to think of us.
Well, Bill, you apparently have more confidence and more insight numbers than I do, but hopefully charitable deductions will still be a good deduction. But even if they aren't, for those people in Minnesota that want to help provide that free week's vacation to a military family, you know, why not donate anyway?
100% of the monies that we raise goes towards the operation and promotion of Camp Gratitude. Every dime.
And, Bill, how many years have you been doing this now?
This will be our sixth camp.
6 years. So you got started about the same time the show got started, and a half years
and
ago.
And I'm hoping to be as successful as you are.
Well, we'll let somebody else judge that later on, Bill. We've got a few more years of work to do, I think. And
I'm not giving up now.
And a lot more weeks of vacation
Absolutely.
For our military families. So once again, give us your website.
CampGratitude.org.
And you do have an opening for this summer.
One available, yep.
And are they signing up for next year already?
We will have the applications and the dates available as soon as this one is over.
All right.
Yep.
So let's get June taken care of and take care of those military families. And I hope you have a great week out there. And we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to meet another new partner of Bill Hoddle's and Camp Gratitude. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Bill Hoddle, the founder of Camp Gratitude on Minnesota Military Radio. And Bill, your camp's coming up in June, and we found out that you've got one opening yet. And if anybody, any military family out there wants to apply for that, they can go to campgratitude.org and apply for it, and there'll be a bunch of details on that website, correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, you brought a new partner with you. Would you like to introduce him?
I would love to. Mr. Tracy Bashore, is the Director of Operations for Ironwood Springs Christian Ranch in Stuartville, which is near Rochester. At this point, I'm real excited to announce the reservation of an additional Camp Gratitude site for 2018. We still have a lot of details to work out, but Tracy has been kind enough to work with us as far as offering an additional 25 sites or 25 rooms for military families.
Tracy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Can you tell us, I understand you've got a facility called referred to as the Miracle Lodge. Can you tell us Ironwood Springs? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, Ironwood Springs has been around for about 40 years, and our heritage is really youth camps and disability camps. But in 2009, we opened Miracle Lodge, which was built fully accessible, 26-room hotel lodge. And at that time, Colonel John Morris came to us and said, he really thinks this would be a great place for military family retreats. And that's how Operation Welcome Home was born. And that is a series of free weekends that we provide 6 to 7 a year for military families, couples, families of the fallen. And we do those 6 to 7 times a year, all free to military families. So we have a shared mission with Camp Gratitude. We think we're doing similar things, and so we think this partnership is a good thing.
So after you met Chaplain Morris, somebody down there became under his influence a little bit.
Well, he was a good friend of Bob, our founder of the ranch. He was his pastor, actually. So
okay. So he just whispered a little bit, and he said, let's do this.
And Bob's a let's-do-it guy. So, yeah, we started that program in 2009, and we've served over 700 families through that.
So you refer to this as Operation Welcome Home.
Yes.
Okay, now I understand that you were at a meeting, or someone was at a meeting with Bill, that we had down at Wells Fargo, I believe, last year. And how did the two of you get together?
Well, I believe it was with Bob at the time, I think.
Correct.
Met each other, or you were, and so Bob invited him down, and Bill came down and toured the place, and we've been talking ever since. Just like I said, we have a shared mission, just to help military families deal with the trials of military life.
So, Bill, next year you're going to have a couple options, and you can take care of a lot more military families.
Love to. That's our goal.
If so, 2018 is going to include what?
It would still be at the vest camp in Big Marine Lake and also at Ironwood Springs. So hopefully we'll be going from 12 families to 37.
37 families. And how are you going to ramp up for that? Have you had any trouble filling these weeks?
I don't have a clue. That's what you're helping us with.
All I have to do is go to campgratitude.org. And better stay tuned because you can handle more than 12 families next year.
I'd love to. My life be so miserable that I can't figure out how to accommodate everybody.
And you were in military intelligence.
Well,
speaks
for itself.
We've got you speechless, Bill. Tracy, this sounds like it's going to be a pretty interesting partnership.
It is. And we're excited about that. I also would like to let people know we still have openings in our military family camps this year. We have a Families of the Fallen retreat coming up June 2nd through the 4th. We have a summer family camp in July and one in October. So military families can sign up on ironwoodsprings.com for those.
IronwoodSprings.com. And you've given me a brochure here. That looks like quite a facility.
It is a beautiful lodge. Yeah, it's just a great facility. We have horses, of course, so the families get to ride horses, and we have chuck wagon dinners and the whole works.
So there's a lot of activities down there for the week.
Yeah, absolutely. Zip lines and shooting ranges and all sorts of things.
Now, have you had Bill down there?
He's visited us a few times, yeah.
Did you put him up on that zip line?
He hasn't been on there yet, so that's coming.
He's probably okay on that.
But I'm good friends with Clyde the camel.
We do have a camel, yes, Clyde.
If you put him on the camel with a horse, he'd probably hurt himself.
Yeah, that's right. We'll let him ride Clyde, yeah.
So once again, for our military families out there, Bill has one opening at Camp Gratitude for this year, and that's in June as well?
And that's 2017.
That's this year, Bill, 2017. And Tracy, you've still got openings, you said, on June 2 through 4 for Families of the Fallen, July 21st, 23rd, Family Military Summer Camp, and October 20th, 22nd, Military Family Fall Camp.
That's correct. They can just register online. Everything's free to these families.
So that's at ironwoodsprings.com.
That's correct.
So for all our military families out there, either go to campgratitude.org or ironwoodsprings.com and find a way to get a little free vacation. And next year, Bill's going to take care of 37 families. I want to see this happen,
that's
Bill.
Our hope. Yes, sir.
We're going to have you come back and give us a full report.
Love to. Thank you.
Tracy, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you.
And Bill, you're doing a great job. Keep it up. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
This is Bill Huddle, the founder of Camp Gratitude, and Tracy Bayshore from Ironwood Springs Christian Ranch. Joining me now is Jason Marquardt, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Fillmore County Veteran Service Officer. Jason, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you again, Tom.
How are all our veterans down in southern Minnesota?
Well, so far today, they're cold. You know, the weather went from nice and warm 60s and 70s down to it snowed this morning.
Well, you get that kind of weather, then they should pop down to the local county veteran service officer and see if they can get some things done.
I agree. That's a good time to do it when they're not busy doing stuff outside.
And how many CVSOs do we have around the state?
We have right around 140 total CVSOs. Whether they're an assistant county veteran service officer or the veteran service officer themselves.
And so every county's got at least one.
That's correct.
And the bigger counties like Hennepin and Ramsey have a number of people working there.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Now, are you getting ready for your annual spring training?
We actually are done with our annual spring training. That was held here a few weeks ago in Mankato, and then back in March we had our other one that we do up in Walker, Minnesota.
And the purpose of those biannual get-togethers is to make sure that all of your fellow county veteran service officers know about as many resources as possible to help our veterans.
That's right. We get trained by either the state or the Veterans Affairs themselves so we can help veterans with any issue that they're having.
So for all things veteran, for all our veterans out there listening to the network of 40 stations around the state, if you have an issue or a question, go visit your local county veteran service officer. That's the place to start. And Jason, I understand if they're suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, they might be well advised to stop into their county veteran service officer to talk about that as well.
Yes, we should be their first stop. Unless they're already seeing treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder. It's one of those things that can be service-connected because of what we've done in the service, what we've seen, what's happened to us. Post-traumatic stress disorder is, you know, witnessing life-threatening things, seeing people that are hurt, dismembered, natural disasters, even sexual assault can cause post-traumatic stress disorder.
So this is the same thing that in World War II and Korea they called battle fatigue. Vietnam, we started calling it PTSD, and it's just a traumatic event that you experienced and witnessed during your service.
That's correct. You know, it has many names, but it's been there ever since we've had war.
So is there treatment available, and is it effective treatment?
There's very good treatment. The VA has a whole assortment of treatments. They got inpatient treatment, outpatient treatments. They'll do different therapies, and it's almost tailored more towards what that veteran needs, because not every therapy works for everybody. So a good clinician can work with anybody and use the correct treatment with them, and it could be something like cognitive behavioral therapy where they're just talking with you about it and you're explaining the events and basically reliving them, but reliving them brings them forward instead of smashing that memory down, and then helps the veteran deal with what happened in their life.
So you take that event out, talk about it, relive it, face it, deal with it, and put it away.
Yep. Put it away in a good way instead of just repressing the memories and making it so it's, you know, it's a festering, bubbling issue.
So the VA has a good effective treatment for this. Are there other places that you send the veterans as well?
Yep, there is places called the vet centers. There's a couple up in the Twin Cities, one down in La Crosse, Wisconsin. The vet centers are clinical mental health counselors. So they're not doctors. They have just a master's degree in clinical mental health counseling. Many of the counselors are veterans themselves, so they've been there and done that. They wear the same T-shirts that all of us combat veterans wear. And they are very well trained in group therapy and individual therapies that can help that veteran get through that time in their life that they're having an issue with.
So if you need some help with PTSD, go visit your county veteran service officer. They can get you access to the VA or to these vet centers so that you can finally put that behind you.
That's right.
Jason, thanks for calling into the show again today.
Thank you again, Tom, for letting me.
Thank you. That's Jason Marquardt, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Fillmore County Veteran Service Officer. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Ariana Hart, Bill Hoddle, Tracy Bayshore, Jason Marquardt, Commissioner Larry Shelleto of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we get the latest information on the Red Bulls 1st Brigade and meet Team Red, White, and Blue. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.